All right, who was that? What are we just listening to? Universal Consciousness, the great Alice Coltrane, was born on this day in 1937. So that's what we are hearing there, and I love that piece because you can hear she's imitating the Wales and all kinds of other things inside of her music and bringing it out. She, a mad woman, incredible genius, Alice Coltrane, born on this day. So now we come to our two guests, and want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. You can log on to Facebook pages. You can also chat me, or not chat me, tweet me. Well, you can chat me as well if you like, but you can tweet me at Mark Steiner. We are here in the studio with Milton Kent, who is a lecturer in the Department of Multimedia Journalism in the School of Global Journalism and Communication at Morgan State University, a freelance journalist, years working for the Sun Papers. Good to have you with us, Milton.
Good to be here, Mark.
And also does another radio broadcast someplace else. And Jeremy. and Jerry Bembry's in the house. Jerry is a veteran sports journalist who worked for the Baltimore Sun and ESPN and much more, co-host of the Blacktop Exchange Sports Report here on WEA on Sunday nights. Good to see you, Jerry.
Good to be here. I just want to say that if I'd known it was anniversary of the guy who developed the conch, I would have worn my hair in a conch today. I wish I had known, Mark.
Well, that ship has sailed for me years ago.
Some of us were born with it. Anyway.
One for you.
So, Al Sharpton must be celebrating today.
Sure.
So, So to our subject, and the subject is, this was an amazing Little League World Series,
yeah,
with an African American baseball team, the Jack Robinson Youth League, winning from Chicago. And and all the kids of her age across the racial spectrum at this moment screaming Monet, Monet, as could become a noun, I think, or a verb, or both. So our thoughts on what this means, both presently and historically. Milton?
I think it's a wonderful thing. I mean, if there's going to be you just hope that, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, when Monet Davis and those young men from Chicago are, bouncing kids off their knees, that hopefully a generation of young African Americans will follow them back into baseball. Because, I tell my students all the time, and I tell folks all the time, that baseball really is one of the socialization forces. I don't know if I'm using the right word, but if you can look back over the history of the 20th century, the late 20th century, you can make the argument, the very strong argument, that after Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson was probably, the second most important force in bringing blacks into American culture. Because even to this day, I've got aunts and uncles in their 70s who still love baseball because of Jackie Robinson. It's still their sport. And, I hope, as a kid who loved Brooks Robinson and Frank Robinson, I hope kids come back to baseball. I really do.
And this was the first time, Jerry, since 1933, do I have that right? That a African American Little League team was even in, or is it 33 years?
31 years since the last African American team was in the Little League World Series.
Right, right.
And, like Milton, I grew up, baseball was my first love. Yeah. And guys like Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, and there were so many great players. And I would go to the games at Yankee Stadium when I was 7, 8 years old. And we've gotten away from that era. I think it would be challenging for a lot of African Americans today, particularly younger ones, to name 5 black big league ball players. And it's kind of sad how the shift has gone, because there are so many opportunities, and Major League Baseball is trying to pull these kids in to play the sport, and there's scholarship opportunities for these kids, and it's really sad that very little interest in the African American community.
Well, there's been a real history here. We do not have the local Little Leagues on today, but we couldn't, the times didn't work out to get them on the program today, but we'll be doing that in the future. But there are movements here in Baltimore, black Little League teams in the city, and part of it is, at least to me, I see what you think. The world of baseball was huge in the black community, in part, because so many members of the black world lived in the rural South in open fields where baseball was played. Those playing fields did not exist in inner-city communities. They still don't exist in inner-city communities where kids can actually go out and play. Actually, more have been closed over the last 50 years than have been opened.
Yeah.
So, that's part of, I think, the dynamic.
Baseball also, it's a tough game, even though it's very basic, you can get two folks together and have a catch. In order to get a game together, you really do have to get a larger number of folks together. Now, it's funny. No one ever says that about football, because you really you need, you know, to play football properly, you need 22 people on the field. But it's always, you know, well, you got to get nine guys, and you got to get the equipment, and you got to get this, and you got to get that. Supposedly, as folks have been talking, baseball is very popular with younger black kids, but there seems to be a point maybe around high school where they make the choice to go to football or basketball. And to Jerry's point about scholarships, actually, it's kind of a myth out there that there really aren't that many college baseball scholarships left. Our school doesn't have a baseball. Morgan doesn't have a baseball team.
That's true. It doesn't.
And part of that is Title IX. There's some Title IX considerations in there also. Towson up the road almost lost their team a couple years ago for basically the same reason. Most schools don't field a full scholarship team. They give out partials. Whereas in football and basketball, for the most part, you get a full ride. So that, I mean, I think that becomes a factor too.
And several years ago, I remember seeing a story where among HBCUs, particularly in the Mideastern Athletic Conference, which Morgan is a part of, there were more white kids playing baseball than black kids.
On the Morgan's team?
No, in the whole conference.
So MEAC does have a baseball league.
There's a baseball league in the MEAC. Coppin State has a team. But if you look at the dynamics today, there are probably more white and Latino kids playing for black colleges than black kids.
Right.
And the scholarships are there. I think there's an average of 11 baseball scholarships per team, where football has 75 and basketball has more. But I think the shift is that football and basketball are revenue-producing sports. And if you look on TV on the college level, the games are thrown at you. There's big money in those two sports, where baseball is a non-revenue sport. You only see baseball games, if you're a real fan, probably during the College World Series. And kids want exposure. And they're not going to get that in baseball. So I think that's why there's this tremendous shift from that particular sport to football and basketball.
Let me open the phones here. A number of people calling in, 410-319-8888. As we explore this phenomenon that just happened in the Little League World Series at Williamsport, it was huge that the Jackie Robinson League won out of Chicago, and also just as huge the group out of Philadelphia and the young one Monet, who just pitched her heart out. But also there's an interesting story in that league as well. Both these teams have fascinating backstories that I hope we have time to get to. 410-319-8888. Jerry and Hamden, you're on the air.
Hey, hi, Mark.
Hi, Jerry. Good morning.
Baseball, yes, baseball. There was recently an article that Dave Zirin wrote.
Yes, right.
I don't know if people had a chance to look at it. It's called On the Little League World Series, Jackie Robinson West and Michael Brown.
Right.
And, you know, I think, we would do a disservice if we don't look at these situations a little bit deeper. Statistics that Zirin has in his article is that right now less than 6% of the rosters in college baseball have African American players.
That's true. Are you still there, Jerry? Yeah.
What's that? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so, and I saw that, and he also made the comment in the article that America loves to have its black heroes, but stops there in terms of fighting around issues of racism and police and other stuff like that. He also made that point, juxtaposing those two things. But those things are true. I mean, as in Do the Right Thing. That was one of the big things in Do the Right Thing. But I think there is a lot there. And I think that there's – one of the things he wrote about the article was how funds have been cut from recreation departments across America in inner cities for things like baseball. They're not there. They're gone.
Yeah, I mean, well, but I wonder if this isn't chicken and the egg. I mean, are recreational budgets being cut for baseball because kids don't show the interest in baseball? To Jerry's point, because it isn't a type of thing. I mean, maybe now as they're seeing, I mean, having an all-black team from Chicago make the international championship game, and to have a nearly all-black team from Philadelphia get that far. I mean, I don't, to be honest with you, and God bless her for the attempt, but I think Monet Davis to some degree is an outlier, because I just don't know at this point. She's going to bring people to the party, but I don't think they're going to, I mean, you're not going to see, I don't think, you're not going to see a lot of little girls who bring 70-mile-an-hour fastballs.
No, but I think you'll see a lot of little girls who look at Mona Davis and say, I can play. I mean, all these little girls, white and black and Latino, were in the stands holding up signs,
right.
Monet,
right.
Because they relate to this young girl, you know, right. Just because they're young girls. I mean, that, I thought that was pretty inspiring
to watch it. I think this will generate interest. We had Kevin Egginson on the Blacktop Exchange Sports Report last Sunday. Kevin is the president of the Northwood League. He said, happened over the last week and a half, his phone was blowing off the hook. People were calling him, expressing interest in getting into his league. Now, that league has always had some good interest, and they've had this urban initiative, which has helped urban areas. In urban areas, they've had Major League Baseball chip-in money to help these leagues develop.
Right.
And so he said that he was really watching the games with extreme interest and said that his phone's been blown off the hook and that people are really signing up their kids in record numbers right now.
Let's hope people can take advantage of that. I think because let's get back to the phones here, because there was a time when playing baseball or basketball or whatever game you were playing, pickup game, stickball, growing up, were because you loved to play it. And we all kids had dreams of being a star, except for me, because I knew I never was going to make it. But people had dreams of being a star, but it wasn't driven by that. It was driven because kids just picked up a bat and a baseball or a basketball or a football. And just played.
People love the sport. When I was a kid, I mean, it's all we played was baseball. That was the main sport.
410-319-8888. The Imam Earl El Amin is online. Earl, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark. And the conversation is very interesting. As a young man playing baseball, and there's some history here at Morgan State University. The first African American to ever pitch in the World Series was a Morgan State graduate, and that was Joe Black. And so my father was a roommate of his, and my father was a catcher, and they used to go down and practice with the Eli Giants at Morgan when they were students at Morgan. And later on, my father was the last baseball coach when I played baseball at Morgan. And then my last year, I assisted my father coaching there. But that being said, growing up in the Baltimore metropolitan area, There were two leagues, the Forest Park Little League, which I came out of, and the James Mosier Little League,
right,
which was one of the first. And in 1968, my father coached the team that actually won the state championship. And they won the state championship, ironically, the Little League state championship affiliated with the Williamsport. They won that in what a town called Halfway, right outside of Hagerstown. And I remember sitting there in the stands and people calling all different types of racial names to, you know, this being disrespected. But they want this team, they actually won. They went on to the regionals, and they ultimately lost up in New Jersey that year. But it's very interesting to understand. And in 1971, I started in center field in what they then called the Hearst All-Star Game, where the best ball players in the Baltimore metropolitan area played the best ball players around the country that the Orioles were going to draft and whatnot. And that game now, that I think it's the Brooks Robinson, it became the someone else had sponsored it for some period of time. But that being said, one of the things I would like to say to our and push this out to our to your guests, Mark, is this. African-American boys don't play baseball anymore. One of the reasons is all of the above that they stated. But I like to say from a psychological standpoint of view, it's very important to understand that we live in a society that is immediate gratification-oriented. Baseball is not immediate gratification. And so what has happened is basketball over the years has made inroads, and football has made inroads into the African-American community, and really baseball didn't. And so kids don't play baseball because there's no immediate gratification there. Baseball is really a chess game. So what has happened is the game is not being taught at the very early ages for these guys. They have the will to teach the game, but they don't have the skill. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know. Many of the men that are teaching the game really don't know. If you don't get fundamentals in the early ages in baseball, you're out of it. I mean, some guys have natural talent like a Bo Jackson or something like that. But it's very important to understand that how this immediate gratification impacts the kids, and that – that guys don't come to see the baseball games. They're not socialized to go to baseball games like they are socialized to go to the football, Little League football, and Little League basketball, the Little League basketball and football games. How parents are social, they're not socialized like that anymore. So that being said, Mark.
Thank you, Earl. Don't hang up on him.
I think, you know, he spoke about instant gratification. I think that we touched on that when we said that when kids get to college, they want the exposure. That's the gratification, to be on ESPN, to get your games covered. And that's part of what we touched on when we mentioned it earlier.
But I think what Earl was saying, and all the years I've known Earl Alamin and his brother who passed away, incredible men, I didn't know Earl had this baseball history like this. Mm. And I think what Earl has given us is a history of black baseball in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And how it expanded and exploded, and I think he's right, and partially is that we do live in a world beyond race of immediate gratification, and in some ways, baseball is a more cerebral game than many other sports, you know. And maybe baseball and chess should be taught to our kids early on,
yeah.
You know, just to slow down, think, analyze. You know what I'm saying?
One of the takeaways that I took from watching the Chicago team, and I admit I hadn't watched a lot of it until Sunday,
uh-huh.
but those kids, they're in double play position.
Mm-hmm.
They hit the cutoff man. Those guys.
Listen, you talk baseball. Go ahead.
No, but to the gentleman's point about like fundamentals.
Yeah.
These kids are. It isn't just about their physical abilities. Those kids think the game through. In part to his point, to call his point, that their coach had actually had some major league experience. So he teaches them, you know, you don't run into an out. You know, you hit the cutoff man. They're in position. So if a ground ball's hit to the second baseman, the shortstop knows instinctively to go to second to cover the bag to make the relay to first. That's the kind of stuff that you don't, you know. And unfortunately, when our kids can play, you know, you can play the game at a base level. It's when you start moving through the ranks and you play against teams that have the fundamentals down where they perhaps run into some problems.
And I think that one of the things maybe this win in the World Series has generated, I would hope, and I don't know if that's the case or not, but generating conversations like this around America to kind of rebuild this kind of passion, because, it was one of the great passions of America, but one of the great passions of the African-American world were the baseball leagues and what that meant to communities, you know, and it was just a very powerful time. And you can't go back, but the past can fuel the future, I think.
You know, growing up, my mother used to take me to baseball games all the time. It was a father-son. It was a family sport, and it got away from being that. Back in the 1970s, I think 28% of Major League Baseball players were black.
Right. Now it's like
8%? In 95, it was 19%. Now it's 8%. So
right.
Those
amazing
numbers are going down. I don't see the numbers going up anytime soon, even with what happened the last couple of weeks with the Little League World Series. But maybe this will generate some interest and show people that they can get a chance to shine playing this particular sport.
Well, the point is sadly been made that one of the things about baseball that distinguishes it from the other sports is that it is by and large a sport that is handed down father to son.
Exactly.
And in our community, with so many African-American young men being raised by, and our women do a terrific job, and you know, but one of the things that perhaps gets lost in the getting kids through the process of growing up, one of the things that gets lost is having the father there to teach, to go out with the son to play catch with the kid and to take them to events like that.
And I was also thinking of my dear friend, my first wife, who runs Fusion Partnerships, Saida Stone. Her father grew up in the South, played baseball. He passed it down from father to daughter. Mm. So baseball was huge. I mean, it was, you know, people played it all around. And I think that this is a really important conversation we just had, and I'm really glad that you could take your time out from the beginning of school to join us here. Earl Alamin, who called in, just kind of set off a set of bells in my head. Together, Earl and some of the others who have a history of baseball in Baltimore, to kind of just record a piece together about the history of black baseball in the city and what the future might hold, because Earl kind of laid something out here that I thought was really important in this conversation. So
I'd love to have – I teach sports writing from 1 to 2. I'd love to have him – I'll put it out on the air and maybe get a number from – I'd love to have him come in and talk to my class.
I can give you Earl's information.
I'd appreciate that.
Yes, Earl's a dear friend. So thank you all for calling in, and I want to thank my two guests here, Milton Kent and Jerry Bembry, both here at the Morgan University School of Global Journalism, and both longtime sports journalists. If you're a student, you want to take a course, understand some stuff, these two men are two of the men who can teach you. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we are going to examine why the Islamic State is attracting so many young Western Muslims. Why is that? We're going out here with Lester Young's Beautiful Eyes. Lester Young, the great Lester Young, born on this day in 1919.
He had such beautiful eyes. He told such beautiful lies. He had me hypnotized, mesmerized.